This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
How much is money?
It's nothing.
Balling.
Alakwa.
Premium or nothing.
Them or nothing.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Ebelebe gebu. Fanye kwete na neme.
Ayagaya.
Iba.
Apo.
Ayagaya.
Come on.
Bombo.
Iba.
Ayagaya.
Iba.
Apo.
Ayagaya.
Come on.
Bombo.
Iba.
Ayagaya.
Iba.
Apo.
Ayagaya.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Like, welcome back. All right, fam. Well, we are back on the couch again.
We are. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start our mindfulness with just doing like a check-in.
Okay.
And I want our check-in to go in with like focusing on a challenge that or something that you judge yourself for this mm-hmm. week. And how did you end up reconciling? Mm-hmm. Or did you reconcile? So think about it. Something that was challenging. And how did you handle it or reconcile with it? Or was it ever reconciled?
You got me there, right?
So I can start. I can start with my week. I came back from vacation. And mm-hmm. when you work for yourself, it's like, you know, you don't get PTOs. You are the PT in the O.
Right.
So before I left, I kind of like hijacked my schedule and packed it with the sense of like wanting to make sure I make up whatever was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that not giving myself a break, not having back-to-back session was really not giving me a time to be present. And I started to judge myself this week a lot and also judge myself in my eating habits because I was ordering a lot and spending money, so which kind of bothered me. And I think by the time yesterday or Friday came along, I literally was like, you know what? You did what worked. And I also realized like the stuff that I was ordering was still healthy. It was just the fact that I was spending money that kind of like bothered me about it. And I kind of just let it be.
That wasn't as aligned with your long-term values.
It was not. Sense. And it kind of like frustrated me. It was challenging every day.
I bet.
Yeah.
Challenge for me. things that I was judging myself for this week, I had an interaction with a client that was very triggering and was honestly ready to quit one of my very many jobs.
That's
I was
real.
Straight up just like, I don't need this shit. I can just do this somewhere else. Like,
exactly.
This is really stretching me. I'm like at a space in my career where like I just don't have the energy to put up with this. And I think I was judging myself for showing up in that way because it was really based in like my own personal experiences and own struggles. Like it was my own trauma that was showing up when my client was showing up in the way that they just will. Like,
yeah.
And so I think I was judging myself for struggling to separate myself as like Tyler the person and Tyler the therapist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little bit judgmental of that because that's not really something that I experience often. I think that that is has been something that has made me good at my job is that mm-hmm. I've been able to compartmentalize pretty mm-hmm. well. And the thing that helped me to overcome that is my good girlfriends had to get my ass together.
We had a good powwow.
We did. They held space for me to like be present with what was showing up for me and helped me kind of rein it back in around like, it's okay for you to sit with those feelings and the feelings that you're having are not for this situation. It's mm-hmm. for your own personal life mm-hmm. and what is for this situation is how you can show up in your job. So I remember leaving that conversation feeling like, people are lucky I care about doing the work.
Yeah, you know, and we're proud of you for it.
Thank you. Very proud. Yeah. I would say that I don't want to call it a challenge because mm-hmm. it's something that I experience every week, aka my cycle. But I think that every month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, right. Every month. But I think that there is the veil between I think my emotional stability mm-hmm. and my emotional weakness mm-hmm. is thinner during mm-hmm. this time. And so I come in contact with thoughts and judgments and criticisms that are a little bit quieter throughout the mm-hmm. month or yeah. aren't as loud, but then they become so much louder
mm-hmm. yeah.
during the week leading up to my cycle. And then plop unexpected events or disappointments on top of that.
Yeah.
And that like ramps up how mm-hmm. I can like judge or talk to myself. So I had yeah. a lot of challenges with not just kind of like overgeneralize the experience to be like, oh, it's because of my cycle. Like I'll yeah, always yeah. like whenever I'm more emotionally fragile during this time, I will just kind of like put it into the small container mm-hmm. that it's because of this thing. And so yeah. once this is done, then, it's not going to be a problem yeah. anymore, even though it's a concern mm-hmm. that I would probably have or entertain, mm-hmm. even if the cycle wasn't there. It's just much more, like, in my face, right. and I can't run away from it as much, you know, during this time.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
So that would be, it's definitely a challenge, and it's, I find that now, pre-cycle versus when you are actually, like, on your cycle, right, mm-hmm. you have different, I feel like there's like a high or like a jump in all my like thoughts and all my emotions and intensity. And then when you're on cycle, you kind of dip really fast. So yes. like right now I'm feeling a little less chaotic and erratic and like yeah. almost like pumped up, ready for something. And now yeah. I'm feeling a little bit more like, reserved and just kind of like in a space of reflection.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. What about you, Franz? What was something that was challenging or something Lord. That you overcame and all that stuff?
I'm not challenging. I deal with people.
Yes.
You know, I deal with the general public, but sometimes I think for me...
This week, yeah.
It's this generation, leading this generation is... it will take a toll on you mentally dealing with leading this generation. And one of the things I've literally been focused on is not kind of giving that, you know what, I'm sick of your shit, I'm tired of you, move on, mm-hmm. kind of coach out and give a little bit back. You know, mm-hmm. I struggle. Like, if I actually do something 1, 2, 3 times, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to baby. You grow up. We got responsibilities.
Right. We're all like, adults.
We all here to earn a paycheck. We all got wants mm-hmm. and needs. Let's get it done. We got about yeah. 8 hours to do it in.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, we spend more time together as colleagues
right.
than we do in our own family. Because you go True. Home, you eat dinner, you sleep. That's not active hours. Right. Mm-hmm. So why do I have to say the same thing all the time? We know the routine. We know the expectation. We all get paid by the same people. So I think I have an employee, and the person had to come to me and say, I feel like you don't want me here no more. And I paused for a minute, and I laughed, because I wasn't at work all week. I was out of town. But I'm on Teams, right? I'm always on Teams. I was giving feedback. And she said it to me, I had to catch myself. Be like, oh, I gave you that vibe, because you have been focused, and you let somebody who just started outperform you for a week when you spent 4 months and you had me to yourself. Like, you could pick my mind. You've observed me. You've watched me. Mm-hmm. You've watched the execution. Just mimic it. Mm-hmm. And it was just, for me, I had to catch myself like, let me back. I had to teach. I coached this person in a moment where it was of need. So I probably didn't give her my best coaching.
Yeah.
And I had to step myself back and be like, okay, I got you. And then go from there. But for me, it was taking it back, remind myself, like, this is what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Right.
Be great. Reset. Right.
Yeah.
This
good
was
deal.
Someone
That's a good
when
self,
you
though.
Were, you know, when you didn't have a staff who was running toe to toe with you, your run mate. Mm-hmm. Not give back properly. So what worked?
You balance it. Yeah. But it seems like you checked yourself, right?
Yeah,
you
had
some assumption and you checked yourself. And then you kind of reminded yourself back and kind of bring it back.
But also, can I like commend you not only for checking yourself, but noting that there is frustrations in growing and building someone.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
From scratch, or it didn't start with the same skill set and aptitude and work ethic, because that's hard as somebody who I'm just, you know you and a little bit of what Jay has told me, like you're a hard worker. You hit the ground running, you analyze, you take a lot of time into what it is that you do. And I know for myself who the ways in which that I kind of attack work is not always replicated in the people that are below me or that I am, what's it called, teaching. And that can be frustrating because if only, like, you know, like if you already were there with me, look at what more we could get. And we also forget that because of our experiences and our past history with kind of like sharpened us in one way, they were sharpened in a slightly different way. Doesn't mean it's a deficit per se, because it's causing us some challenge, you know? It is just that they are aware and cognizant and maybe like tied to something that we actually need to sharpen within ourselves.
Right. Yeah. Good deal. Good deal.
It is definitely.
So it's hard.
Well, I'm glad that we made it through the week.
We did.
We did, and we did it good.
Yes.
All right. All right. So we do have a visitor on the couch.
Yes.
You know, it's my twin. Literally. So we want to welcome Franz Adler, Altima, and on the couch with
us.
That's
the whole name.
I had to give the whole company name, okay? I had to give the whole ultimate name. And yes, the last name is Altima. Therefore, that's my little brother. Outside of being my little brother and a fantastic girl dad and a fantastic husband and sibling, he is a businessman to the core, okay? Business is his name. And as he's like, he's a goat, literally a Capricorn who is annoying and loving.
Wow.
But he is
in.
There you go. He is as you can see. But I say that Franz is a man with like several different trades. Like he's a jack of all trades. But he always do things with a passion, but also want to influence, want to motivate. He is a mentor to many. So he does mentoring. He has three different, if not five different businesses, but I'm only aware of three, that he really does a startup on. He is a go-getter when it comes to people in his community, not just like Afro-Caribbean or foreigners, but just people of color in general and want to see them win. He does a lot of community advocacy, community work. He doesn't like to talk about himself, but I just know what he does. And he does try to show up 100 and give everything all his best, but I can talk all this and say all this. So, yeah, Franz, welcome.
Welcome to the show, Franz.
And I call you Franz, even though I call you little brother or Franco, but I call you Franz through this episode. To be professional.
I appreciate
To be professional.
I appreciate
Keep it. Keep it professional.
No, thank you for the invite. Thank you for having me. I don't talk about myself, honestly. I just do things. If it makes sense to me, if it feels right, all right, count me in. I'm in. Sometimes I get me in trouble, sometimes I don't. But either way I do it, if I'm going to do it, I just do it.
Yeah.
You know, one of my passion was something that I've honestly been taking the pride in. I got to thank a good friend of mine for kind of helped me hone in on what I really enjoy is not being a gatekeeper of information.
Right? Educating.
Educating people.
I love
and
that.
Understanding. And I'm going to thank Jay because I had to, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I called Jay. I was like, you know what?
Six.
I hate this job. I was like, these people get on my damn nerves. These Jersey's frost. And so I felt like I had a whole mental breakdown on the phone with her. And she had to kind of reset me. And we talk about people's mental health. And present in a way where I had to think about it. I was like, it's real. Like,
because your mental health like, was being compromised, but you didn't title it as such. But you were in burnout.
It's real. You know, you got to understand all that. From a financial standpoint, it's tied in. From an employee standpoint, from people's standpoint. And I realized things were changing. And so it was for me, how do I give back? How do I give back? How to continue to be myself, but also grow? And I think the thing about businesses, entrepreneurs, having access to finances is everybody looks at it different.
Yes.
But what are you doing to get information? You know, what are you doing to do that? I tell people all the time. But you go back in the 90s, you had to go AOL, get computer, try to get information. We have a smartphone we walk around with. That is a computer we walk around with every day. We spend endless time on social media. You can research things.
Like, yeah.
You can have access really to that.
You have access to information. How are you positioning? How are you using that? So I just like, I just like to get out there and just talk to people.
And also, you know, we do come from a business family, but
true.
Franz was the youngest manager at the age of 16. So I wanted you to talk about how, like, you always had a, what is the drive for you to lead, but a drive for you to excel? Because if you want to talk about, we talked about hustle culture in our first episode. If you want to know what hustle culture and bodies. Managing that embodies, he's sitting right in front of you, literally sitting right in front of you. So talk about what was the drive for you? Like at 14, you started working at your own will. 15, and then at 16, to be the youngest manager of a food chain, of a major food chain, and keep climbing his ladder. My brother did not really get his degree until recently, but have held higher positions. So go ahead, talk about
it. But I'm also noticing some discomfort at being like acknowledged for the things that you did. Can we talk about that a little bit before we get into that?
You know, you're on the couch with therapists, but you know.
No, honestly, I don't.
But talk about that drive.
I don't do things for acknowledgement. I work best under leadership who, and I tell my leadership, I say, how do you want to be managed? Don't tell me what I know. Tell me how I can be better. Right? That's literally what I always tell all my boss. Like,
sure.
Numbers don't lie. People do. Right? I can look at, like, you tell me, hey, this is the goal. This is where we got to be. This is the time frame. I get there. If there's a confinement, a guidelines want me to stay in, sure, I'll stay within it. But I never do things. Like, honestly, I don't do things to say, okay, I want to get there. Like, I know ultimately I want to always be able to get up and do what I want to do when I want to.
Exactly.
Not have to worry about finances, not have to worry about, hey, I can't do this because of A, B, X, Y, Z. But it was always about just being the best at everything, right? Growing up in a household with all women, being the only male.
He was fighting for your life.
Anybody knows with my family, they solidly competitive, but they will take you here and bring you back down mentally. So, you know, it was always kind of like that mentality. And growing up Caribbean as the only man, you know, people said, you know, man in the house, man in the house. You know, you had to figure it out.
At the age of 14.
So for me, it was always, how do I figure it out? What does that look like, right?
Yeah.
And I got my first job. Mom said, remember, you represent your family. So I don't know, that weighed heavy for me. So every time my mom is like,
really so crazy.
Jesus, I'm representing my family. Like that, to this day, that carries weight for me. Like, how does that look like?
You know, right? It's interesting to hear you talk right now because I don't think it ever, because I always saw, Franzo is my little brother in terms of like, we are literally like twins. We're just literally 2 years apart. But I always feel like, even though he's the little brother, I always depended on him because I feel like he always had it.
Yeah.
So to hear you say like that was a pressure, I'm like, damn, I don't think I ever thought about it like that because I'm like, you know.
But you didn't conceptualize it as somebody who your family, because from being somebody where it was always said you're a representation of your family, you're a representation, it always feels like somebody is watching you, somebody is looking at you, and I can't let them see me trip. Fall or stay down. Yeah. So even though it's both a sense of like, oh, right, like strength and pride and people, it also feels like what happens if I drop the ball?
At 14,
already like feeling like, okay,
drop the ball.
Tell me how, because what you said was very specific is tell me how I can be better. And how the drive to always excel comes from the inability to kind of just be still with just self. Yeah. And remember how you said it wasn't until 6 years ago that you had to call Jay and it's like, I hate it here. Mm-hmm. But that is also in competition with, I'm supposed to be performing. Yeah. I'm at a job that is probably very lucrative and all these other things. But you said something a little bit after that in that you enjoy freedom. Freedom, like an access to information.
Yeah.
The ability to move and just do whatever it is I want. Being financially...
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Stable allows you to do that. But what is really important to you is people having access and you knowing how the lack of access really puts people in
a deficit.
Not great places. Yeah. Can we talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So grew up in Columbia, right? Mm-hmm. If anybody knows about Columbia, it's you kind of protected suburbs. Mm-hmm. You don't get exposed. I think when I started working in Prince George's County, for those who want to say PG, it was a different world. It was a culture shock for me because I'm like, what? Y'all guys don't know this? You guys don't have access to that? Even when I'm there talking to staff down there in school, like, we had to write resumes and have a career fair. They're like, no, we don't know. So for me, it was like, there's no access to nothing. Mm-hmm. And I could remember my first...
And it's literally a county over.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I remember my first time of wanting to start a business, I said, I'm going to do credit counseling. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, it was a big thing. Mm-hmm. There was a lot. It was an outlaw credit counseling, all this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, people are charging people thousands of dollars mm-hmm. to repair their credit. Mm-hmm. Why? And I'm watching people just throwing money away and being the banking industry. I'm like, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, just take 45 minutes one night, log on to your experience, log on to whatever. Dispute the damn thing yourself. Mm-hmm. Use a consumer financial bureau. Like, it's just people weren't doing it. So I literally took a couple of my employees who I know when they work on their credit, and I said, hey, I want to do kind of like a dry run test. You're going to let me do, this is what we're going to do. And I remember my very, very, very first employee, I started doing that, which is kind of on the side. She had a repossession. And we read up on it. We read everything. We did the dispute. And we did it together. And she was like, oh, you could do this. I was like, oh, well, no. Then the certification is like, well, you have to charge. I was like, okay, I'll charge for $50, whatever. I don't care. It wasn't about the money. But what I wanted to do was, show people, you can do this, right? Because people don't know. So then I was like, you can't really make money off this. Mm-hmm. You can't really do this. But even then, I still wouldn't charge people that much, right? Mm-hmm. It's for me, it's making sure that people know what's out there. Mm-hmm. Because I think as Black people, as foreigners, we are too intelligent. We limit ourselves, right? There's the limitation, right? Yeah. We know what's out there. Like, it's not a secret. We know the limitations. We know the ceilings. But I don't think we do enough to educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think when we do have people like myself who get in a certain position, they become gatekeepers of information.
Yeah.
And that drives me crazy. But why, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody can go out and find it, right? But
is it self-preservation?
Yeah.
I don't know. But for what? Bring people up with you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because
but they don't think like that though, right? But they don't think like that, right? Because to the self-preservation, Tyler talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say that perhaps is a cultural thing too, right? Mm-hmm. Like that desire or like the I need to reach next to me or below to help bring people up with me. That crabs in a barrel mentality that we talked about.
So are you saying that's the difference between Black people and Caribbeans, Africans, like there is a bit more of like, let's link together.
No, but because, come together. But they're also like that too, though. Foreigners are also like that too.
Yeah.
I think it's a sense of security and know who you are, mm-hmm. but having the mentality that even if I bring Tyler, who's African-American, you, who's African, is that it's the trust.
Yeah.
It's the trust in knowing that we all have the same goal. We all aspire. Mm-hmm. Like, but we don't, if people, if our own people, people that look like you have broken trust or mistrust, yeah, then yeah, it becomes gatekeeping around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it comes from too, ourselves, like that idea of self-preservation is maybe there, like there's only room for one of us.
Yes.
And if I give you these resources, are yeah, you going to put me in a space where I don't have it?
Yeah.
And I think that we know community wise. Yeah, that's not
you're
true,
right. It's short minded.
But when you subscribe, yeah, right. But when you subscribe to this idea, which yeah, is based in white supremacy, surprise,
yeah,
surprise.
Yeah.
But when you subscribe to that idea, it does make you look at the people that, even the people that look like you,
yeah,
that could perhaps support you. Like, I can't trust
yeah,
that you're not also going to put me in a position that's threatening.
Good deal.
And you, all right, oh, I was just going to say, it is short-minded. And at the same time, that has, like, that scenario is actually something that has happened to people mm-hmm, where yeah, when they yeah, do train somebody that is next to them or below them, that person then becomes their replacement.
Never mm-hmm, let a freshman you know, take your spot.
You know what they say? Like, so like, I can see why that happens. And at the same time, it is not a practiced, I guess, mission mm-hmm, to carry the people with you.
But you can't take my spot if I don't allow you to take my spot.
Hey, fair enough.
You can't, and I think that's what you got to do yourself. Like, okay, you got the information, you shared it. Now, how can you elevate yourself, right? I think before you can share that information, you must make sure you're in a position to elevate.
There.
Right? I tell myself all the time, my title is the title, right? You guys, mm-hmm, I will teach you all my, every single one of you how to do my job, right? But can you execute like I can execute mm-hmm, it? Do you have the passion for it that I have the passion for it? And I think that drives different, right? You have to have mm-hmm, a passion right, for what it is. Just because you can do what I can do don't mean you can do the level of passion and effectiveness than I can do.
Definitely.
So if you want to try to take a step on my foot, have at it.
Yeah, right? I think that's how we separate, you know, the lions from the sheep, because anybody can follow an instruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also competitiveness drives progress and right, drives people right, to look for more. So it's like, I think the part that is missing for those people who might be fearful of getting replaced is that while they're teaching someone else something, they're not learning
more,
to right, kind of like, elevate, you know, excel to build their mastery.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I think the listening, the confession mm-hmm, is really going to get us to have like a really good conversation. So mm-hmm, let's get into the confession.
I'm pretty sure that I'm being financially abused, but my boyfriend keeps insisting that that's not a thing. We don't even live together, yet he expects me to pay half of his bills because I spend a few nights at his place each month. Meanwhile, when he comes to my apartment, he helps himself to whatever he wants without even offering to contribute. Now that I'm starting a better paying job, he won't stop talking about how excited he is for me to buy him things. But when I was unemployed, he told me to figure it out and still expected me to cover half of everything, even things I didn't want. He insisted on using my car to save gas on his truck, but has only even offered to chip in once in 2 years. And when we talk about the future, he says he can't wait for me to move in so that I can pay his mortgage. But when I asked if I'd own part of the house, he laughed and said, "Of course not. It's always been mine. You should just be lucky to marry a man who owns a home." My gut is screaming at me to run. And yes, I'm already in therapy. First of all, that is your man, girl.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
So
that's not your man.
Right. So, well, you know, there's so much stuff to start. Let's start with the idea of in a relationship, and it seems like it's a heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What is the role of a man in modern time and old time and time?
See, that's tricky for me, right? Because mm-hmm, I think that I can look at it from a perspective of just like, this is not even something that I would just require from a man. I think that partnership mm-hmm, requires some sort of like reciprocity and give and take, and it's seeming like a lot of your giving.
Of collaboration on what right, you know, is expected.
Right. It seems like there's a lot of like taking on his part and not a lot of like giving, not giving grace, not giving funds, just taking.
Okay. So, our question also is, so we're asking about what the role of the man or the partner. I guess I want to kind of clarify, what is financial abuse so that I can maybe get a better understanding of so, if this is something that is happening?
Go ahead. What's financial abuse?
Ooh, Lord, that letter.
I know you ready.
Financial abuse, right? It doesn't have an age or...
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Or it doesn't have a limit or nothing, right? We're looking at financial abuse multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As it relates to this letter, Lord, not the corner by is stupid, but I just think she's stupid.
Hey.
I'll be honest, because mm-hmm. financial abuse, when you allow, it's like anything else, right? You can't put into a bank, if you don't put into a bank account, you withdraw, you overdrafting. So if the person's like putting back into you as much,
you're in the negative.
That's just fine. You're in the negative.
Yeah.
And it just seems like this person is pulling more and more. Like all I heard was his expectation.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your expectation?
Right.
Right. Mm. So I think I would love to know what this person do. And I think this person is just, as she said, she's the breadwinner, apparently making more money. And he sees her for a dollar sign. She is his bank account. She's an ATM. She's not a partner.
Right.
Like,
a she's resource.
Not so I think financial abuse, when you have someone who's constantly expecting you to financially contribute, but they're not even financially contributing to you in any way.
Right? Yeah.
Because I didn't hear at one point where she said, oh, he goes out, pays for dinner, does anything like that.
Nothing.
As far as the role of a man in a house, that... I think that's quite frankly, that's your upbringing,
right?
That is your upbringing. I think that's your mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, as a man, it's up to the mortgage. I'm paying the mortgage. Like my wife may know how much mortgage is, but that is not her burden to bear.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. That's just my mindset.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who split the mortgage, and that's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There are people where she may make more, she pays the mortgage, and he pays everything else, right? So I do think there's a divide in the bill, but mm-hmm. I think it's that understanding. If he ain't got it, do she got it?
Right.
If she ain't got it, do you got
do
it?
You
right?
have it? Yeah, it's reciprocity.
That partnership. Yeah, I don't think it's actually a role per se.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be an understanding that, hey, just because this half of the bills paid, we still got other household bills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do we win together, right?
Right.
You can't have a spender and a saver because then you have one feeding off the other. There has to be an equal yoke balance with the finances, and there must be conversation.
Yeah.
Most people don't communicate. And quite frankly, I always tell married people, y'all don't want the same account. Y'all should have three accounts. His account, your account, the household account.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Because if something happened, that person needs to know this bill got paid, this is the record.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a lot of couples, what I see, have the same account, there's always one spender, and the husband may think this is how much in the account, but the wife then went out and spent money on this, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there has to be
communication.
There has to be communication what needs to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be out spending ridiculously and then that, because there is that bill that comes to the house. The husband see it, the wife see it, everybody's responsible. So for me, financial abuse, when you have that person that just is not contributing. Or you have one person who's driving, one person got the ambition to earn, and the other person's like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and let you earn, and I'm going to live this good life, go on trips, and so forth.
Mm. I would definitely, I agree with that, right? Like, that there is some sort of manipulation that happens in financial abuse. So I look at a basic definition of financial abuse is using financial means to shape someone else's behavior.
Yeah.
So that could go both ways. That could also be a situation where, like, I am the breadwinner and I'm able to dangle carrots in front of you in order to make sure that you align with what things I want and what my values are.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I pay the bills, so I'm going to make it as uncomfortable as it's possible here. Like,
Cause
I pay the bills, so we're going to be in the winter with no heat.
Mm-hmm.
That is a
those are different ways
that people are finding. Or also, like, another thing would be like, I'm giving you a set amount of money, and mm-hmm. you are not allowed extra things, so you mm-hmm. need to make it work, right? So mm-hmm. I think about like back in the day when women were unable to work because mm-hmm. that was a right that they did not have.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing of like, keep them barefoot in the winter and pregnant in the summer. And what that meant was, in the winter, you would not buy women shoes mm-hmm. so that they were unable to like run away, mm-hmm. leave the house. Like, they would mm-hmm. have slippers. And you, what you're about to do with slippers in like several inches or even regular bit of whatever, right? Financial mm-hmm. abuse is also limiting someone's access to financial resources. Mm-hmm. It is diminishing the person's ability to have their mm-hmm. own kind mm-hmm. of like financial support
yeah.
or to be able to like care for themselves or their child, and also forces them to like depend on the perpetrator. Yeah. Hey, you know, you don't have to work. I'll take on all the bills. You don't have, you just need to worry about, you know, having the children and, you know, caring for the children, but you don't need to worry about those things. But then when the child comes and there's extra like needs or extra things that mm-hmm. need to be used for the household, now you're questioning me, asking me, and actually saying, no, you can't do that. Just make it work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I have a question also, a follow-up around, I don't think people, one, don't know they're in financial abusive type of relationships.
For sure. I think that's one that goes under the radar.
Yeah, it goes really under the radar, because if you think about it, if I observe financial abuse in childhood, whether a parent is doing it to the other or whether it was, they may not have been married, but whether something where you realize this is how people in relationship function with money mm-hmm. and not knowing it was financial abuse, it becomes a normalcy. Mm-hmm. With this confession, I question and wonder if what would make her, like, there's
what's
something
the
innately that makes her think, mm-hmm. I don't think this is okay. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, she's still committing and subjecting
engaged.
To it.
Yeah.
So I would probably guess is that it was in her upbringing, because people forget, because financial abuse doesn't only happen in your partner.
Yes. Right.
Parents do it to their children a lot.
Exactly.
And quite also often. Vice versa.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we experienced it just early
I've seen
on.
That a lot.
So,
in, like,
yeah, I want to know is, like, do someone, or even friends in your line of work, or do someone realize, or have you had to point out that they're being fined, you know, money's being used to weaponize against them? Or did they even realize that they were being weaponized financially?
Yeah. I mean, in my line of work, I see it more with elder abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most recently, you know, dealt with a client where this guy came in with her, and I still don't even know who this guy is to this day.
Mm-hmm.
He has all her debit cards, all her information, and she didn't know. And as soon as he stepped out the room, she's like, what is a debit card? What is this? What is that? Like,
mm-hmm.
So it happens a lot elderly, but in relationships, I notice with the youth, it's always a physical abuse kind of tone.
Perhaps,
mm-hmm. Right? And I think it's usually where she makes more and he's somehow controlling her, mm-hmm. You know, by whatever reason. But there's a fear there. There's a mm-hmm. fear that's placed on that person. And I've seen it from females to male. It's that fear of, oh, she's gorgeous and she's going to leave me if mm-hmm. I don't do this, if I don't do that. Like, I've seen it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But I think it's people who abuse for financial abuse, there's an insecurity there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's an insecurity there with the elder abuse. It's just people seeing that money, taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Right? And I deal with that. And surprisingly, elderlies are a target for a lot of elder abuse.
For sure.
Even a lot of fraudsters, right?
Yes.
They'll cause that panic. Oh, you didn't pay this, you didn't pay that, mm-hmm. quickly.
And are literally like clearing people's bank accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Scammers, mm-hmm. all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally, they cleared this guy's home equity out, the guy's mortgage, because I had to put a pause and say, whoa. Yeah. This money, they did not put this money in account. They got access to your online banking, and they moved this, right?
Mm.
So it happens, but what I'm seeing is with the youth, it happens more because there's an insecurity that the person is preying on from the other person.
Yeah. For sure.
And it drives me crazy because they see it, but they don't believe it. I can sit here and I can tell them, like, why do you put up with it? Oh, I've been waiting for... Like, it's always an excuse.
There's a blindness in the fog. Because the thing about it is abuse, like, it shifts the mechanisms of your brain.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
It genuinely changes how you view yourself and that partner, because this person who I've chosen and who chose me is hurting me. But that
intentionally
starts,
and that's intentionally, hard to accept.
But that has started usually from when I was younger. Like my parent, my caregiver, my church person that I'm supposed to trust, who has been given this beacon of power and whatever over me, is taking advantage of me. But they love me. But they're supposed to, like, I don't, it's a
hard
thing.
That's like that gaslighting of, like.
It's a hard thing to conceptualize and also acknowledge that you have been going through for a long period of time.
Also, you know, to this reader is a young woman. You have a daughter. So, and when we talk about teaching and that generational, like, teaching financial literacy, that, like, what are you doing with, because I like what you and your wife are doing with my sister-in-law doing. So what are you doing with your daughter to teach her about finances? Or how does, you know, how do you teach your children about the importance of finances and also how to be aware of financial abuse?
You got to let them know, you know. I got to pull up my wife, you know. Chase has actually a kid's account where, you know, her grandparents put money account on it. She has her debit card. You know, we got her Cash App card, and she loved the daggone game Roblox. Roblox, I swear, is going to take me to bankruptcy. You know, and she had to learn the hard way, right? She just was spin. I will tell you a couple of times, I told my wife a couple of times, do not put your daggone card on this damn girl's iPad. My wife didn't listen. $600 later on her bank account. I get the... I'm about to kill your daughter. You know, she ain't kill her, but, you know.
She's still alive.
It was not to tell, like, look, like, you can't do that. Like, don't do it. So we end up getting her a Cash App card. And she just kept buying. She didn't want to listen. She kept buying. And her access got blocked.
Apple. But remember, she got declined. She got declined. She didn't know what declined. She's like, what?
I said no. Mom said no. And I'm like, you gotta figure it out. You better call your aunt and uncles and all. So I think we went to Sunday dinner. She called her aunts to Cash App her some money to get her out of debt. She's like, but they sent me $80. What? I said, that was what you owed. You're now back to
zero.
Right. You still don't have enough to go. So then she's like, who can I call? I'm like, you better call the rest of your uncles. You know, we don't want to see our kids suffer. We don't want to see our kids go. But sometimes they got to learn.
Lesson.
Right?
Yeah.
That was her lesson. That was her lesson, you know. And I'm stuck with my daughters. We'll go out and I'll have to make a decision. I'll give you $50. However you want to spend it. I don't care. But daddy, that's too expensive. But you have your money. It's in your budget. You have to decide that. I think you have to teach them. Show them, let them understand. Understand what that price means.
Yeah.
And if you spend money on this, you ain't got money for this.
Yeah.
Right? So we have our Friday Starbucks outing. And then occasionally she'll hit me with, oh, let's get some ice cream. I said, well, if we get ice cream,
how you gonna afford your Starbucks?
You gotta make an executive decision, boo. Which one is it? She's like, jeez. And she's like, I have big one. And she'll look at the price, right? And there's she'll be like, Daddy, this is too expensive. You're right. Right?
So she would she be played like this?
Oh no, she not gonna do that.
Absolutely not.
But I think that you brought up some good points around that.
She might be the one abusing, quite frankly. Because when it's her money, she's outspending.
She don't play.
Everything is too expensive. Oh, but when it's me and Mom's money,
run it up.
It's only $100.
Oh,
only a hundred.
Yeah,
you gotta have a seat. You know, so I think it's you got to teach kids. the power of money, right? Mm-hmm. You got to show them early. They'll understand if you ain't got it, you ain't got it, right?
Yeah.
There's several books out there where it's for kids. There's schools out there, and this is one of my partners, and, you know, if I'm going to mention their name, but you have Equity Now, who is a company I partner with, and they have a school that they work with, and the school, every classroom is named after a Fortune 500 company, the stock market. They have certain programs where they had a kids' Shark Tank where literally kids mm-hmm. have their own businesses, mm-hmm. whether they're making bead bracelet, whatever that looked like. They came in, they present the idea, the business plan, and they won certain gifts. They set the whole gymnasium.
Wow. That teaches them.
Equity Now is a bigger company, but Legend mm-hmm. Charter School is the name of the school. And it's a husband and a wife who create this school. I absolutely love Shamar and his wife. And that's what they do. They teach it. They have their regular school curriculum, but they also teach financial literacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they built these kids in, and they promote their business. They get things out. So mm-hmm. I think it's things like that we have to look into, mm-hmm. right? It's how do you teach them the understanding? Because financial literacy, it is a necessity.
Yes.
It is.
Because social media is what's teaching financial literacy. And I'm telling you,
it's not
social media
good.
Makes everything look like it's click, click.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. That's also the instant gratification mm-hmm. piece that a lot of like kids just are already, their mind is already programmed to, mm-hmm. oh, if I want it, I'm going to get it. And it is mm-hmm. up to the adults around mm-hmm. them to teach about delayed gratification. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. it's great when I think of, there's this one lady who actually does a good job on Instagram or on TikTok of like teaching her kids financial literacy. Like she will say, oh, say you have a house, rent is this month, the car mm-hmm. note is this and yep. this, month, but you're mm-hmm. only making
X
yeah. amount of money. How are you going to make it work? And I remember it's like the kids are like five, like from five all the way to like 12.
So I was just last mm-hmm. weekend. Yeah, last weekend we did it with in D.C. Mm-hmm. where the kids, they had to take a story. Mm-hmm. They either lived by themselves, were married with kids and mm-hmm. had kids. They had to pick health insurance. Mm-hmm. They had to pick how much they wanted entertainment. And like you said, it was the most interesting thing because I watched these kids in there. God, I'm broke.
What am no,
I
literally, they're, and they're
I was,
stressing.
Yeah. Like legitimately stressing. Yeah. Like, how am I going to make it? Uh-huh. Well, you got $400 in entertainment right there.
You might find some freeways yeah, to meet
exactly.
their
day.
It was very cute because like the 5-year-old was like, I don't have enough money for groceries.
I think that some points that both of you all made is that it has to be intentional teaching, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that mm-hmm. we learn a lot about finances naturally. Mm-hmm. Whether yes. And so you want the person who's doing the teaching to be intentional about what they want you to learn. Mm-hmm. I think that also there is some deficits around like people can't teach you what they don't know.
Exactly. And that was yes.
so what does that look yes. like if you yes. grow up in a household where your parent doesn't have financial literacy?
Yeah.
Or make and good so, financial decisions.
Right.
Or you makes, live on a paycheck to paycheck basis.
Right. And so then so, you kind of be that as an right. adult.
But mm-hmm. as I think as a parent, right, that's when you gotta say, well, I don't have that. I want you to have better. So what does that look like? Putting you in front of a professional that can teach you that, right? Going back to the company I'm at now, I'm meeting people where their parents are coming in with them. They're like, oh my God, Franz, remember, you remember him? You opened his minor account. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, they're like, oh yeah, I do remember you. You walked me to the line and you did mm-hmm. this. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, man, you out of college. And now they're like, how do I do this? How do I do mm-hmm. that, right? I think it's getting them started early. But yeah. also, when they get that money, taking them to the bank, having them go through that, right?
Right?
Even though, and these are parents who themselves were living paycheck to paycheck. I said, I don't want you the same thing, right? It's teaching that value, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get to the money, right? Mm-hmm. Jay mentioned, you know, I finished my degree a couple years ago. I mm-hmm. honestly never cared for it. My sister, my older sister got multiple. Jay got multiple. I never cared for it.
Yeah.
Because for me, I've always been blessed where I work. I'm like, I'm making this much money. They going to school, spending the money for it, and I'm making more
and
than
all
that.
In mm-hmm. money.
I had no desire to right. do it, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I have a daughter, I'm like, okay, now if I'm instilling the education in her, I have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. My wife has
to
all
model that, yeah.
I have to model that, but also how do I balance that into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's if you live in check to paycheck, how do you teach your child that hey, this is not what life look like? You mm-hmm. can get to this lavish thing you see on TikTok, But this is a commitment that they're not showing you that comes with it.
Right.
But also, you know, I also want to, you know, look into the part of, there's also shame that's attached to not knowing as a parent or not even providing for your kid, right?
Yeah, or being in a place.
Or thinking that you are providing because your experience is still better than...
So in a sense of like, sometimes if you living to survive, you also teach your child to live to survive. Mm-hmm. So even if your child is going to school, get that education, making that money, you'll be surprised. There's a lot of, you know, women or people that I meet, like, they're making great money.
Don't know how to manage
it. And they don't have any money. So they get in relationships, and the person is like, how come you have this top title? You bringing in 150K, 100K, but yeah, you in so much debt, and yeah, you living free, you living this, and so forth and so on. But it's like, there's, because even with this guy, I'm also like, I'm here and there with this in terms of, somewhere it was taught to him, taught to him that, you know, a woman, this is what, mine is mine, but a woman should be providing and caring.
Or somebody else should be providing and caring.
Yeah. And then, so I think, you know, and I'm saying this around, like, people do carry a shame about not knowing, and people, and part of the not knowing is that there is, a thing is that even if they do know or their kids end up being successful, they're still not taught financial responsibility because even though I'm making this a lot of money, you know, I've sent a couple people your way, it's like they're making 100 and 200K, but they are in debt and they don't have it.
Yeah.
Because they don't, there's a shame. So how do you deal with the shame of, I didn't teach my kids, but I myself as an adult now, not a child, I still don't know how to manage money.
Yeah.
So, and again, you know, is there to the letter? I'm honestly just curious, what is he doing with his money? What does he do?
Well, she because said he
at some point in the letter, I feel like he's a selfish individual who's using the money to build
his own stuff. Yep.
And using her to pay his day-to-day bills. Right? And then I feel like
that's usually how it works.
I would want to know a backstory behind that. But I think, you know, right, there's a shame there, right? But at what point, at what degree of shame do you want? You want to wait till you're out in the street, or you want to say, "Hey, look, I messed up," right?
Yeah.
I've dealt with executives with make $250,000 and can't get approved for a single credit card. And when you look at their credit, they just leasing cars and all that, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's what's important to you, right? Do you want to be financially stable? Yes, you're making the money, but what do you have to fall on? Is it more about the glitz and glamour for you? I dealt with an attorney. He, to this day, I talk about this guy. This guy dropped the Oldsmobile and he was driving out of DC. This is an attorney who made money, who had the money was not a problem. Lived in Virginia. He would literally get out of court and he would Uber around DC for 2.5 hours. And I was asking him, why do you Uber? You're not struggling. And he's laughed at me. He said, I could stand in traffic from DC to Virginia, waste gas, let the engine get hot, and do nothing constructive. Or I can make $250 in 2 hours, wait till traffic down, drive 30 minutes home. That $250 is going to cover my gas and the wear and tear for this car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a guy who's not struggling. He trust me when I tell you he wasn't struggling. Yeah. Right? I think it's you can't be too ashamed when it comes to finance, right?
Yeah, you're because people's relationship with money is tricky.
Yeah.
It is. I can definitely speak to that. It's about that facade.
You can't be so caught up in the facade that you watch yourself dig yourself into a hole because at some point that money goes away.
Yeah.
You know, then what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I guess what I wanted to add, there was a couple of things that you had said about like the shame and the guilt, right? Mm-hmm. There is both the shame that comes from people outside of yourself that tell you that you are supposed to be successful despite not having the lessons or being given the prep. There is also this guilt of like, I wasn't able like to catch up. Like I think about myself, like finances, I've always, since as long as I can remember, I've always been thinking about money. Always been thinking about money. Always thinking about like, okay, like rent. Like, okay, like my dad, does he have enough like money to get to these places? I remember like, did this, you guys ever have this experience of like getting maybe like get birthday gifts like and there's money supposedly inside it.
Yeah.
But it's not your money.
Right.
It's the family's money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we talk about people, not saying that I would be susceptible to financial abuse, and yeah. I could be, honestly, but not to say that. But there's this thing of, like, my money's not mine when you yeah. come from a place mm-hmm. that, like, you're yeah. perpetually, like,
the money's, you know, everybody's, poverty. And that's the point. That
way, yeah. It's
and
part of, like, so I'm there's making. This thing of, like, since I was younger, always this kind of undercurrent of, like, I need to make money because I need to take care of the people around mm-hmm. me, and mm-hmm. people don't have money and I don't want to mm-hmm. be in that place. And so immediately, it's from when I was young, it's how do I, and I didn't have access, I couldn't actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because of where I was at. But it's always thinking about how can, if I did get money, then it's this hoarding experience of where I have that. To like mm-hmm. keep it and commandeer yeah. it. And like, mm-hmm. I, and I'm like counting every single thing to make sure when I finally did what's it called, graduate from school. Mind you, college is also very tricky. Yes, I'm on scholarship, but at the time they didn't have NIL deals. They didn't right. have people so, like giving you money to like, it was, mm-hmm. you got your food plan. If that food plan is done, you need to right. use yeah. your, I didn't have no money. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to stretch things, mm-hmm. right? With a very little bit. So then now there's now this scarcity that's been playing in my head mm-hmm. since I was little. Now I finally have money, mm-hmm. but then I'm like, can I, what's it called, do the trip? Can I do the thing? Can mm-hmm. I do these things? Then when I do it, I feel badly for it.
Yeah.
And then I get more money now because I'm getting mm-hmm. bigger, but I'm still thinking about, well, what if that one day that I don't, that I, like, something happens? Like, for example, I used to get my, I had to drive a lot. So I would get accidents. Mm-hmm. And it would be $500 deductible, $500 deductible, $500 That's deductible, $500 deductible. I'm like, $500 for someone who's making $35,000 a year
like a lot
is literally
money.
Like gut, like it's gutting yeah. me. And I remember yeah. one time it happened back to back and it wasn't even my fault. Like, let's talk about your world feeling like it's ending.
Yeah.
Like, so then I'm, then it's then feeling like I'm not good enough because I was exactly. unable to get ahead Handle of that. This thing. That's what my
so
mind would be
how,
like,
you know, since my brother, I'll have a moment of disclosure around. I was making good money. I didn't know I was making good money, but my brother does my finances. And, you know, at first, like, he could be harsh. And I think the first time, you know, it. He pushed me to, my brother's the one who pushed me to start Guidance of Hope, by mm-hmm. the way, like, start my own business. But the first time he made me realize how much money I was making at that time period. And I remember the question he asked me, and he was doing it lovingly. He was like, where is this money? What happened to this yeah. money? Because I'm looking at your debt. I'm looking at this. Mm-hmm. And honestly,
it wasn't her trunk and shoes.
but and, it's a shame at somebody.
And I was looking at it like I really didn't know what to say to him about it.
Yeah.
And I started getting emotional. And I'm like, and he was like, okay, we're going to figure this out. But there's some things that's going to have to stop. But for me, it was the fact that I felt like because I was making money, so I spend money. Like, I would live and I would yes. do whatever. And he was like, no. Like,
yeah.
you can't be making this much money and struggling. And also, like, spoiled just a little bit. Like, if I didn't have it, like,
there
I would go and ask. Like, I
exactly.
had access.
You had access.
I had access,
still.
Right? So for me, I think it came to a point where he also had to realize, because I think it was, I kept asking you, like, why are you asking? Like, I don't mm-hmm. care giving. And I think it was like, let's look at this. And I remember the shame that kind of came with mm-hmm. it for me around, like, then he was like, Jay, this is how much you make. And I'm like, no, I don't. I said, how? Like, and then it was factual.
Yeah.
But there's a denial that came in. There was a denial. Because it's like,
yeah.
I don't want to acknowledge that
exactly.
this money that is coming in, I actually
right.
don't, it's not accounted for.
Yeah. And then when he realized how I genuinely was oblivious to how things work, and then we had like a conversation.
Yeah.
And then I'm still working on it, but then I became mindful, but I also married someone who's just like him too. So it's one of those things where
Jesus.
It's like, you know, I can understand the shame of not knowing. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be good. I'm not beautiful,
I wouldn't be
so
in
this
that
wouldn't
situation,
be me. But
at I
the same
see.
Time, I
tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
I do understand, mm-hmm. like, working, you work, you spend money. You work, mm-hmm. you spend money. Because, yeah. you know, my mentality is I'm going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
why not
and
die?
And, like, I wanted to add to, like, the fact that, like, you had the backing to be able to go
yes.
to
access
someone
to information.
That will
yeah.
have
yeah.
people not... Like, that's why we need restraints.
Exactly.
Because, like, when you just have a free-flowing bit of yeah. money, you don't, like... take accountability.
I looked at him crazy when he told me no.
I'm sure you, girl, you've lost you don't like mind. No as it is, like, but that's beside the point. And, but I'm thinking about this, right? I think about this lady. I could see how someone like myself who always thought about like not having and mm-hmm. also like how like daunting it felt and isolating it yeah. felt. So if a partner who I love and care for, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Comes yeah. and comes and because they don't like, yes, it can be physical when yeah. they make you, but sometimes it's very much the just look at how destitute
I'm pulling
that
on
I
your
am.
Heartstrings.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. so then you want to, because you know what it feels like, especially if I'm making, if I'm mm-hmm. the breadwinner, mm-hmm. I know what it's like not mm-hmm. to have money.
Yeah.
So I don't want the person that I love and care about to also feel that. So of course, here. I'm giving yeah. you this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, because of that lack of cognition or awareness, wait, now you're controlling my finances.
Exactly. Yeah. And how did we even get here?
Right. It's, I mean, that person that learned, I'm telling you, I have so many questions. It's not even funny. It's looking like who else in their life, you know? You got to think of what point is that? Like, I really want to know what is this guy contributing to her? Where's it coming from?
Right.
You know, I guess from my own experience, you know, when my wife and I got together, you know, I used to always ask, so it's like you do so much work and you're making $6,000 a year.
We're alike. Right?
But I always tell her, you know, as the Bible says, what was last shall be first, what's first shall be last. Like, you're not going to always be making $6,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Now, to watch where she is, I'm so proud of her. And one of the things I never understood, and she got upset with me, was when she finally started making more money, she would buy me certain things. I'm just like, hey, like, I don't really mm-hmm. care. Right, but for her, it meant something because it's like years you mm-hmm. were giving, you were spoiling me mm-hmm. because you always had the means. Now I want to get back. Like, why you want to rob me of that, mm-hmm. right? And we just kind of became uh-huh. like, well, we just spoil each other now. It's not yeah. like
that
she's
they
not
do.
Giving more.
And they do that
I'm not
well.
Giving more less. It's like, but we have the understanding. If you ain't got it, I need you to come to me. If you ain't got it, vice versa, yeah. right? It can't be we are in the same household. I can't be to a shame mm-hmm. as a man to come say, hey, honey, I ain't got it.
Yeah.
Like, right, you know, I need you to hold it down, right? Even when we bought the house we're in, I was like, whew, this is the biggest bill I've ever had my name attached. I was like, you had to go ahead and make sure I lose my sanity, right? but it's a back and forth. Like, I couldn't begin to tell you what the process is to cut on, to even activate a light, water in the house. Like, that's, she's always into that. I don't know what it costs. You know, I don't know what insurance, like, we've always split it down, but what she knows is if she ain't got it, I got her. If I ain't got it, she got me.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's that understanding, but it there has to be a constant elevation. Mm-hmm. Like, right? We compete with each other, but it's not the competition where it's like, who's going to make more money, right? It's mm-hmm. who can get that next promotion? Who can say that? Like, I remember a couple years ago, she said, all right, it was the end of the year, we're doing our taxes. She's like, next year, our goal is $250,000. How are we going to get there, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't just for me to get there. It wasn't just for her to get there. It's like, how do we combine our income? We get to this number. Mm-hmm. You know, we did mm-hmm. the real estate. You know, we done multiple things. And you know, even now, we're like, you know, hey, how do we get out of the highest tax bracket right now? Like, how do we, like, we're not going down. How do we go up, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. and you're discussing multiple avenues, right? And my question is for this letter is, you know, how is that person elevating you? Like, I don't care that you contribute to his household, right? And he's not contributing to yours. Maybe his ultimate plan is to y'all live together. I don't know. But if he's telling
for you to pay his mortgage.
If it's, oh, okay, this is my house. Be glad you got me a house. It doesn't seem that way to me. Mm-hmm. But it's, think about, like, what does that long picture do to you? That person leave you today, then what?
Yeah. Like, I think that is the thing that I've always been prepared for. And I think I've shared this on the show before. Like, my parents growing up in a more scarce environment, mm-hmm. there were just certain things that they wanted me to be able to mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. But there was also things that they chose not to teach me. And I don't know if it was like I chose not to teach you, or I just don't want you to have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did not feel well prepared for finances. Mm-hmm. I felt well prepared for you get money, you spend money.
No, that's but not how, like that's how do you I make do.
Your money grow? Yeah, or like sure. how do you budget? How do you save? And those were all lessons yeah. that I had to learn on my own and have held resentment about it. I think mm-hmm. both of my parents growing up in a more scarce space hoard money in their own ways. Mm-hmm. My dad is very much like, no, I don't let people borrow money. And I had to have a very serious conversation with him. Like maybe it was around the time when my grandma passed. So maybe mm-hmm. about 2 years ago, I had to have like a,
you did.
Yes, I understand that you, when you were around my age or even mm-hmm. younger, you had to figure it out on your own because your mother did not have the means.
Yeah.
You have the means mm-hmm. and choose to say no. For what? Yeah. What kind of relationship do you want to have with your children?
Yeah.
Because in this type of economy, yes, we both work. We don't ask you for shit.
Right.
But if I'm coming to you and saying I'm in an emergency, you know that it was my last leg.
Right.
So the answer being no is very like, that right. will damage the relationship.
But is it no? Is it? What have you done to figure out or get yourself out of it?
No, it's always no. It's not even like a let me get some more details or let me figure out what's going on. It's like a you asking me for something, the answer's no. But that is, I had to kind of bring to light that is based in your own financial trauma. That is not the relationship that we have. So mm-hmm, what are you trying to do?
Yeah,
I will say since then.
He's been great.
He's been making some changes. But that was hard for me to even go to mm-hmm. him and say. I think mm-hmm. even now, like, I've been in the same situation as you, Jay. I'm like, now my budget says I have this much money each month.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is the money?
Where is it? All right. So let's jump into, this was a great conversation, yes, honestly. No, we could keep going forever. Let's jump into our listener's letter.
Sure.
We have been in a relationship for more than 2 years now, and he has never done anything abusive to me. We often talk about marriage and everything is great, except one thing that he usually asks me is if he can slap me if I do something wrong, and if he does so, how will I react? I told him it was definitely a deal breaker for me, and I will never tolerate that. Then he told me that I do not understand love and relationships and that I am too childish. Mm. We have not been seeing each other for nearly 2 weeks now. I feel really angry and I do not think that I am wrong at all. I'm okay to end this relationship if he really has that kind of thinking. It's not normal, is it?
No, that's
no, Jesus. Honestly,
look, it is serious, a good relationship. If you never thought about killing your partner, you don't love your partner. So I say that, but that's a figure of speech. It's not like I'm not going to my wife and say, can I kill you? Or can I stab you? Like, I would never.
Tell Kim if you can slap her and see what would happen.
Like, that's a lie. The context matters.
It's one thing, you know, I know as men, and I mean, walk out and slap my wife's booty, but it's not in a...
It's not like I'm a in beach a...
Or, no,
it, but yeah, it seems like it punitive. Like,
I ignore her with it, but, you know, it's not that. But it's never okay. If someone is thinking about, like,
slap
hey, me. When you say something, I'm going to slap you.
Right. When you've done something wrong with the key there. For yeah, me. Like,
you're
like
a child.
Right.
Like, that's, I have like, a slightly no, one no, no, thing no. to add, but I would like you to go ahead.
That's what I'm
go.
Saying. I'm like, context does matter because it's different if you're asking in a more, like... This is a kink kind of way.
Right.
That, okay.
But it was
that's the only thing I'm saying. It wasn't giving
it
kink.
It was the specifics around when you do something wrong.
Like, and then you calling me childish. So then that means you want to teach me like it. Like you
want to discipline me?
Right.
No, yeah. How about we have a conversation like, what? Like I said, Miles, and I was like, I swear you, sometimes you are the smartest blonde in situation. I can't, you know, like my wife will figure is the most complicated thing is that. And the most simple thing, she's like, what? I'm like, honey, like, it's not that complex, right? But we have our strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You put anything legal in front of me, I'm deer in headlight. Mm-hmm. You put anything financial over her, she'll figure it out eventually. But she'll be like, wait a minute, what? Mm-hmm. But I can figure it out like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's what strengths and weaknesses, that I'm not going to argue with her about it. Mm-hmm. Like, we have our areas of opportunity, but someone wants to slap you because you said something wrong. That's just out of pocket all the way.
Like, here's my response. Sis, This man is Ike, and you ain't no Tina, okay? So, I think the fact that you keep walking, sis, and you could be angry, and I'm proud of you for walking, and it's been 2 weeks. Let it be
forever.
2 years, 200 years,
let
or
let
forever,
it be forever.
Okay? Because there is absolutely no way that whether you do something wrong, you are nobody's child. And I'm sure your parents didn't slap you. And if they did, then they're at least have a little bit, it wasn't easy, okay, leeway. But not no man who didn't struggle with you, mm-hmm. who didn't birth you or none of that. He looking for a child. Mm-hmm. And he probably shouldn't have children if he's going to mm-hmm. slap them. Mm-hmm. So therefore, tell him, yeah, go find Ike down the grave.
He needs to be go find sitting on the couch with that lady.
Right. Okay.
He needs
that's not a question about whether it's normal. Girl.
No.
It's definitely not normal. I also want to kind of like separate a couple different things. If he is attempting to like introduce kink, like to some
this
degree.
This man is no kink.
No, I'm just saying like for people who kind of like have maybe attempted to like, mm-hmm. introduce kink and they're doing it in a very ineffective manner.
Yeah.
There's a way to go about like bringing up that you want mm-hmm. to bring up a new dynamic in the relationship because kink is not only something that you do in the bedroom. There is a lifestyle. There is a ways in which, but you want to be prepared to educate your partner about mm-hmm. what it is that you want to introduce to the relationship. Two, also be open to your partner's, reaction, response, like to doing something. And three, don't criticize and blame and name call them mm-hmm. because their response didn't match what it was that you were hoping
you were expecting,
for.
Yeah.
Right? Like if that is what you were wanting to bring in. Now, mm-hmm. according to this particular case, there's already a power dynamic. He is 8 years older than her already. Her, yep. So there is already a play on hierarchy and power and control and dynamic, regardless of if they are aware of it or cognizant, it's mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's a red flag him responding to you and saying that you are a child and you don't know what love is. Because there's a misconception there that love requires you to
suffering
just take
or pain.
I wouldn't say suffering or pain, that you just agree and approve whatever your partner wants to do.
Yeah. Tell you something. Any forms of the outside of a romantic play, whatever play,
or outside
any
of what
forms
you agree
of in abuse or anybody touching, there's no partner that should be touching mm-hmm. anyone. Abuse mm-hmm. is not taken lightly. We're definitely not making a joke of it. We're simply saying, run for the hills. The flags are here.
Right.
And that nobody, it is not okay for you, nobody put their hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, France, where can people find you, whether it's to learn about financial literacy, whether it's to get, in contact with your several different type of CEO positions and jobs?
Look at me up on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I would say, look me up on LinkedIn. I can't mention where I work for because I'm sponsored. Right. You're very big on that. But look me up on LinkedIn.
And also, you have a family business, too.
Yes.
What's the name of the family business? And what do you do?
Faith, Jesus Christ, Faith and Family Customs.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Instagram, I think.
Yes, it is.
It follows this handle.
Couch Chronicles.
Well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's Couch Chronicles. So it's on there as well. Got to put more energy back into it. Had to reset a little bit. But it's really focused on mental health quotes and saying and okay mm-hmm. and faith-based.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially now in the economic times we live in,
mm-hmm.
Feel sorry for y'all. And y'all
we always going to be in business. Don't feel sorry. We are
we hanging on by threads.
We have insurance to cover us now.
That's part.
True too. Because mm-hmm. right now the world going to need y'all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people struggling mentally. And I think sometimes a kind word
mm-hmm.
Goes a long way. No matter where you are, even the kind of faith. So it's kind of put that out there. It's kind of focused. My wife has supported me in doing. We both kind of talked about what we do. Like half my basement is kind of
set up. So it's a workshop.
I just gotta make the time to fully engage in it. But it's Faith Family Customs. It's on Instagram. But as for a financial, look me up on LinkedIn.
Consultant.
Yeah. I don't.
And
think,
we'll have your information up. But I also want to honor my brother for a minute, and the fact that he didn't believe in what I did, and he has come a long way that incorporated with his staff and in himself. He himself and his marriage and his family, like therapy is his thing now. Yeah. So he's come a long way of not believing in therapy to actually being an advocate for therapy.
Look, that's really nice. growing up Caribbean, look, mental health, not talk about, right?
Exactly.
You go to the village, that's the village crazy person.
Yeah. Right.
You don't really pay attention to it, right? And so it's, as I grew and developed as a leader, I had to realize, like, these people really aren't okay, right? You know, they're really trying their best.
He's like, Jack, I got one of your clients working for me. That's what he used to say.
And so I, to me, it was like, look, you're just not doing it. And then, but then I always ask people, one thing I always ask people, even in interviews, what's your why, right? We all have a why. You wake up in the morning and you put up what you put up with, you do what you do, you go to the job you go through, you know, there's always a why. Mm-hmm. Whatever that why is, like, what's your why? And when I see people start swaying over that why, and it's no real reason, nothing's really sticking out, I know something is abnormal.
Something's up.
I think the first time I called Jay for one of my employees, I had to be like, yo, you know, my sister does this. Like, talk to her. She won't share with me. That is her business, her life. It will never get back to me. We don't discuss that stuff. It's because I said, I don't have nobody else I can reference you to. You didn't want to call the job line that they offer because you think it's gonna, they're gonna tell the job, so forth. So I said, you know, have a conversation. She may guide you. I don't know. I think a couple of my employees actually, she may counsel. I couldn't tell you who, nor that I care who, as long as they're getting help. It's different, right? You saw it different. I've had one who actually very open with me about a lot of what she does. You know, she was like, thank you. You know, she was in an abusive relationship. Financially, actually, financially, sometimes physically. You know, she was someone who grew up homeless with two kids.
Right, so there was some aspects. Yeah.
So the first person who she got with was about 500 houses, but they were taking advantage of her, right? And I had to kind of say, like, look, there's a way, right? And when I interviewed this person, she said they're so nervous. And I'd be like, stop. Let's start this interview. Oh, my God, I mess up. I was like, no. And I asked her why. And when I asked her why, she said, my kids, she got calm, said, my kids, I can't fail. I'm all they got, and broke out in tears. And when she walked out, my entire staff was like, yeah, he's not going to hire her. I was like, why y'all say that? It's like, because I'm sure you saw the hole in her skirt. Because they know I'm a big thing on dress code. Presentation meant to me. And they just knew she wasn't going to, I wasn't going to hire her. I said, no, I'm going to hire her. And it was because of her why, right?
And I think she was excellent. She's been excellent.
Yes. And she has grown her career. And continue to grow. We still communicate. She's very big in another company right now, the credit union. She's making well over six figures, and we still to this day talk. And we'll talk about how that. And I still talk about her as when I do interviews. I talk about people growing. So
we're proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But it's understanding. You gotta say that mental health is real. And right now, with this economy, with this administration, people are suffering in silence, and there's no need to suffer in silence. It's okay not to be okay.
Yes, you guys don't have to do it alone.
Thank you.
It's okay not to be okay. So,
exactly.
Thank you, Franz. Thank you for joining us on the couch. And that is the end.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.